when people come here, what I want people to do is to find out that they are, that Jesus loves them. Glory to God. That Jesus loves them. That you are loved. That God wants a relationship with you. You see, maybe you grew up in life and you weren't, you didn't have love. You didn't have acceptance. You weren't believed in. Maybe you were brought up without discipline and your whole life was about you and being selfish and being a brat. And maybe you were brought up where you were neglected and your parents were busy doing stuff. And you grew up on your own. And what I want you to know when you come here, what I want people to experience is I want people to experience the reality of God in their life. I don't give a flip about just going through a church service. I don't care about religion a bit. I care everything about a real relationship with a real God. And the only way I know how to do that is through the blood of Jesus. And when I met Jesus, He turned my life around. And I had, up until 20, had been full of religion and been taught all kinds of religious stuff, and it didn't help me a bit. It did not help me with my everyday life. And when I met Jesus and He saved my wretched soul and came to say, I want to make your heart my home. And I'm like, come on, set up shop, you know. And He just came and lived inside of me. It's like from that point forward, it's like I just want more of Him. Now, when many people come here, they experience love. They experience the presence of God. But what I want to do is help you to know how to walk in that. Brianna, I want you to know how to walk in that. I want you to know how to live in that. I want you to know how to live in His peace. Live in His presence. I love your presence, Lord. Well, you love His presence, but do you know how to live in His presence? That's what we want to talk about. I want to read you three verses that go along with what Brother Ken was saying in Philippians in chapter 4, in verses 6 through 8. I memorized these years ago, so I just want to read them to you. It says, be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Supplication is like begging or beseeching. With thanksgiving, thank you, Jesus, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just or right, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Where is your thoughts when you're away from here? Where is your thoughts? When you're here, we try to capture your thoughts, okay? But you need to learn how to capture your thoughts for yourself. Because when we capture your thoughts, we just want to show you Jesus. That's all we want to do is just get you to Jesus. If you could walk up and just be with Jesus, would everything be okay? Is there any problem you have He couldn't deal with? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Could He handle everything in your life? Take care of the little baby? Take care of the husband, the big baby. I'm sorry, I resemble that. Okay. But that's why I have freedom, because I admit the truth. Is there anything Jesus couldn't take care of? I'm asking you. Do you believe Jesus could take care of any need you have? Do you know what prayer is? Bringing it to Jesus, saying, Jesus, here's my need. Would you take care of it? And that's exactly what Jesus does. He puts His hand right out. I put it in His, and He says, I've got it. Now, I believe he's going to take care of it. So he does. But if we bring stuff to him, and that doesn't mean you come to him and you tell him, I'm sorry, he didn't call you Lord Paula or Lord Sue or Lord Nate. We don't get to choose how he's going to do it. He says, will you give it to me? Whatever it is. See, when I came to him as a drug dealer, I had to give him my sin. When I come to him now, I have to give him my wife. I have to give him my life. I have to give him my business. I have to give him you. Some of you, I have to give him you a lot. Because I try to reach out to you and I go, Lord, I see what you want to do. I care for him so much, but I don't know how to reach him. God, they have a need. Maybe they have a need they don't even see. Maybe they have needs that they're telling some a little bit, but they have bigger needs. They have deeper needs that they're not even in touch with yet. Jesus, would you take care of them? And he's like, I got it. I got them. Now I'm teaching you something. Brianna, this is on the test, so pay attention. The test is called your life. It's how you live. You ready? Okay. When I give, every day, if you ever see me, sometimes you'll just see me hold my hand up like this. It's because I'm giving God something. See, I am too weak to carry it. Whatever it is. My needs, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, physical. I'm too weak to take care of my needs. I got a lot of things and a lot of people that are coming at me all the time. I had Brother Glenn answer my phone one time when I went out of the country for 3 weeks over to Israel. And I called him from Israel and he said, Brother, he said, my hat is off to you. He said, I can't believe how much your phone rings. And he said, and what you have to deal with every day. And it's like, he says, about the time I think I got it all figured out, he said, several people call and I have to switch the schedule around in the business. And there's just a million things keep coming. So what I do is I take whatever the need is and I give it to Jesus. As soon as the need comes, and I start thinking about my son's ears, you know, and instead of worrying about it, I give it to Jesus. Jesus, would you take care of this? I put this in your hands. He says, yes. And then he says, now, let me teach you a key. He says, will you trust me with what you just gave me? Will you trust me with the big baby? Will you trust me with the little baby? Will you trust me with the job? Will you trust me with the no job? Would you trust me? Yes. Yes, Father, I will. He says, now when the worry, when it starts to come back to you so that you would worry about it again or try to figure it out or pick it up, he says, you tell the thought, oh no, I already gave that to Father. He said he'd take care of it. I'm not touching it again. Because if you touch it, Father will just step back and say, okay, I'll wait. If you're going to do it, Brianna, I'll wait. I'll just wait. But he says, if you'll trust me, I'll move in your behalf and you'll find out how powerful I am. Now, if there's things in your life that where there's things that you need something, God's going to give you, faith is an action word, and God's going to give you a single step of how to step forward in life. God, I want you to, my wife used to be a school teacher and kids would pray. Miss Hampton, would you pray for us that we would pass the test? And she said, God, I ask that you would bless as much the study that they did. If they didn't study, may they fail. No, don't pray that. We just want God to supernaturally give us all the wisdom because we never did our homework. Well, then I hope you get what you deserve, you know. Faith is an action word. If you pray and say, God, give me a job, And then a job comes along. Oh, that's not what I want. Well, wait a minute. Are you the Lord of your life or is He? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Who's the Lord? What does the word Lord mean? What? Say again. Of all. That's it. Good. Good. What's the word Lord mean? What else? Master. What else? So what? Savior. What? The word Lord. Do you know what the word Lord means? Master. Boss. One who gets to call the shots. The one who's got his hands on the steering wheel. That's why if you ride with me, I always have my hands on the steering wheel. I know that's why a lot of you don't ride with me, because you're scared of how I have my hands on the steering wheel. What happens with my foot on that accelerator? So I drive with my knees sometimes. You know, if I'm eating and answering the phone and trying to write, I have to steer with something. So, okay. Now my... It works anyway, okay? That's all right. I know where I'm going. You ride with me, you better get saved, you know? All right. Now, if you don't have a job, you need to pray and ask God, God, give me a job. If you need help, you need to pray, God, give me help. God, what is the next step? What do you want me to do? And I'm telling you, He's the daddy. We're the children. He's going to give you a baby step. A baby step. If you step in that baby step, if you do that simple thing He tells you, it's His job. Now the ball's in His court. He's going to do something in your life. Whatever it is you need. He is your capital letter. Need, capital N, capital M, meter. He told me that back in 1977, brand new believer. I'm praying one day, and he said, Harvey, I want you to know me by a new name. And I said, what's that, Jesus? And he said, need meter. He said, I'm bigger than any need you have. But you got to bring it to Jesus. You can't say, Jesus, I want you to take care of my needs, but I don't want to tell you what it is. I want to hide it. I want to pretend it's not there. I want to give it a new coating. We need to bring it to Him just like it is and say, God, this is the truth. But I don't want this to be the truth. You know, like a sin, for example. You understand? Are you with me? Okay, pay attention now. You bring it to Him and you get honest, real. You want help? Pour it out to Him. Don't just, if you just open up a little, you just get a little help. You want a lot of help? Open up wide. Jesus, would you take care of that? Thank you. Now, we passed out handouts last week. Y'all remember those handouts we passed out last week? Did you read them? Some of you did. Nope. You have to see us after service, because maybe we will. I've got some more to hand out this week. This is going to talk about two things. This is going to talk to two different groups of people. It's going to talk to people that already know Jesus. And what the Bible teaches, I want you to look in your Bible, if you have it, to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. And before I hand these out, I'm going to say my words so that I got your attention. And then I'm going to hand these out. Now I only have, I think, about 17 of them. So I'm going to have to be selective when I'm handing them out. If you want one and you don't get a copy this week, then you just come up to me and tell me you want a copy, and I'll make you a copy for next week. Now listen to me. This would have been about 1993. We were doing, I think, our third church at that time. And we were out in wherever we were, Byron Center, somewhere out there, direction. And God said, I want you to see something. I said, what's that? And it took me 2 years to see what he wanted me to see. He had a verse, Colossians 2:6. I've never heard anybody else preach on it. Colossians 2:6 says this, As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. The same way you receive Christ is the same way you're supposed to live Christ. The same way you get saved is the same way you're supposed to live. For 2 years, God had that verse. It was like right in front of me. And no matter where I turned, I could only see Colossians 2:6. Does anybody have some water that they could just share with me? Give me a swallow or something here. Steve, I just need a swallow. I won't do any wash back there. Thank you. All right, Colossians 2:6. As the same way you get saved is how you're supposed to live. You see, a lot of people think they get saved because they pray a prayer. I prayed a prayer, and now I'm going to heaven. Well, if all you needed to do was pray a prayer, then you didn't need Jesus to die on the cross for you. All you need to do is say the magic words. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. By the way, one of you guys, somebody in here the other week, bent down and tied my shoes. It was either you or Steve. I don't remember who. I think it was two different weeks you guys tied my shoes. And you know what? My shoelaces are too long. And my mom taught me to double tie them. But I forgot what she taught me because that was a long time ago. That was like last century or something, you know. And I couldn't remember. And whoever tied my shoes the other day reminded me how my mom double tied my shoes, and I've been doing it that way ever since. We need each other. Remember, it's the kingdom of God is a kingdom of humility. We need to humble ourselves and let others help us, minister to us, speak into us.
Amen.
Right? Okay. I want you to get this, Colossians 2:6. As you have received Christ, the same way you're supposed to walk in Christ. Okay? I'm going to give you a 5-point outline. It's on this. I'm going to give you a 5-point outline. But it took me 2 years to get this 5-point outline. And for 2 years, God would not let me quit thinking of this verse. And I preached, and Cheryl and Steve were in our church back at that time over on, 79th Street. And I preached on this verse for 2 years. I kept reading the Bible from cover to cover, taking all these verses, cross-referencing it. I'm preaching it. And it was all about depending on God. Can I give you the story of Bob? Can I give that, Lord? Okay. I want you to picture. Do me a favor. Close your eyes for a minute. It'll help you to picture this. Close your eyes. I want you to picture yourself. You're in a boat, and you're out in the water, and you're far from shore. Now, you don't have any arms, and you don't have any legs. Okay? You have no arms and no legs. You're in the boat. You're far from shore, and a wave comes, and the boat turns over, and you fall in the water. Now, you're bobbing around in the water. So they may call you Bob, but they're not going to call you Bob for long because you're going under. Because you don't have any way to save yourself. Can you see what I'm talking about? You're in the water. You have no arms or legs. And in desperation, you look around and you see a lifeguard. And you call out to him, help me! And he dives in and he swims out to you. He doesn't need your help. He doesn't need you to try to bounce to help him. He doesn't need you to give him instructions. He doesn't need you to make him promises. You know what he needs? He just needs you to cooperate and let him save you and draw you to shore himself. Open your eyes. Every one of us is in the water of this life. Every one of us starts off lost, not on our way to heaven, have sin in our life, not on our way to heaven, and we're responsible, each one, for our own sin. And we don't deserve to go to heaven. We deserve to go to the other place. Because the only payment for sin is separation from God. Eternal death. When you realize, I can't save myself. There's nothing I can do to get myself out of this water. I have no arms and I have no legs. And that's how we are. That's a picture of a sinner. We can't save ourselves. Well, I'm going to start straightening up. Well, the people I've seen straightened up are laying out in a morgue or in a funeral home somewhere. Well, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. Well, I turned over so many new leaves, I had to rake my backyard. That turning over a new leaf ain't it. Well, I'm going to try harder. Well, if you could try harder and that's going to save you, then why did Jesus die on the cross? The same way you get saved is the same way you're supposed to live. So there's two groups I'm going to talk to today. Those that know Jesus and those that don't know Jesus. Those that know Him, 5-point outline. I'm going to give it to you before I pass these out. You need to realize your condition. What is your condition? See, as a believer, my daughter said it up there, I'm weak. She met Jesus probably 30 years ago. She has read that Bible from cover to cover, memorized probably 1,000 verses or whatever. She walks with God. But she realizes, I'm weak. I need Jesus every minute, David. Every minute, I need Jesus. Daniel, come up here, right up here by her. She won't bite. If she does, I'll take care of her. Right there. There you go. Good boy. Thank you, sir. Hey, give me 5. Whoops, give me 5. Whoops.
No,
that's okay. Sit right there where you were. Okay, that's fine. That's good. David's not going to bite you. This isn't the Carson show. Okay. Then, okay. All right. Realize your condition. As a believer, what is your condition? I need Jesus every minute. You see, if Ken is laying there and he's sick and he said, I'm going to try to be strong for Jesus. There's times, have you ever been sick where you couldn't be strong? Yeah? You ever been in a situation and you can't be strong no matter how hard you try? It's too much for you. You have no power, no ability. Well, that's how it is whether we're saved or whether we're lost. We need Jesus. So you need to realize your condition. You need to admit your inability. I have no power. I have no power. It's not me being strong for God. See, some people meet Jesus. Hang on. Some people meet Jesus, and then they try to be strong for Jesus. And then when it doesn't, they find that they can't be strong for Jesus, then they kind of give up. Well, I thought I was supposed to be a good Christian. You are. You know how to be a good Christian? You depend on Jesus. Jesus, I need you. That means every day, just like I put food in my mouth so that I stay strong physically, I need to put the Word of God in my life so that I stay strong spiritually. Because every day I'm going to have battles. If you're married, do you have battles? If you're... Liars will be friars. Okay. If... Whoops, did I say that? Okay. If you have relationships, you're going to have battles. People, we're going to have battles just having relationships with others. If you have to go to work, you have a battle. Sometimes it's, I don't even want to go to work. Realize your condition. Admit your inability. Realize God's solution. 3 points, three words. Realize God's solution to your problem. What is God's solution? Every time for your problem, God's solution is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. In order for you to have strength from God, you have to die to your own strength. In order for you to get wisdom from God, you have to lay down your wisdom, what you think you know. A problem in my life, many times, because God gave me a brain where I have a photographic memory. I can read something and boom, I remember like every word. My daughter has that. We can watch a movie and we can tell you the whole movie, word for word, scene by scene, all the way through. And because I could do that, I know a lot of things. It was easy for me to make A's in school, but here's the problem. When somebody, a leader, or one of you wants to try to say something to me, my life has been a lot of times where I say, I already know. And when I say, I already know, that's not humility. That's pride. And what that does, I have a little saying. When you say, I already know, you stop the flow of the Holy Spirit. When you say, I already know, you stop the flow of the Holy Spirit. Humility is teachability. If somebody's not teachable, what good are they? Does anybody like a know-it-all? Anybody like a proud peacock? They know everything. They don't need anybody's help. I can do it all by myself. You like that? That's not God's kingdom. Realize your condition. Admit your inability. Realize God's solution, death, burial, resurrection. Admit Christ's ability. Jesus, that's the fourth point. Admit His ability. Jesus got up from the dead. Yes?
Yes.
I mean, is He still in the ground or did He get up? Can't hear you. He got up. I like that saying, you can't keep a good man down. All right? Now you ready? If He got up from the dead, like, what is it He couldn't do? But you don't understand. I've got this person in my life, and they're so hard to deal with. Who made them? Now, just because you pray doesn't mean God's going to come down and do exactly, you know, because see, your prayer might be, I want you to grab them by the back of the neck, Lord, and shake them until they straighten out. Well, God loves them too. And God gives every one of us a free will. And every time you pray, God goes and deals in their heart. God goes every time. I tell women all the time, or men, I guess I tell everybody, God's the only one who can get away with nagging. And God will nag. And when you pray, God will go and, Hannah, 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 and He'll remind you of a truth. When we cooperate, yes, Lord, what do you want me to do? Humble yourself, trust in me, keep your eyes on me, focus on me, forgive them. But Lord, I have already forgiven them 40 times a day. I guess they need 41 times. They may need 400 by the time the day's done. Because God's developing character in you. God wants you to be like Him. How many times has He had to forgive us? How many times has He had to forgive you? Help me. How many times? Does He only have to forgive you like once a day? How about it, Juliana? Does He have to only forgive you once a day, God? Oh, maybe two or three times? Oh, many times? See, she is got a God consciousness. And she's close to the heart of God. God's moving in her life because she's admitting that. When we don't admit that, and we don't realize that, then we're far from God because we're full of pride. You ready? Realize your condition. Admit your inability. Realize God's solution. Admit His ability. And then the point number five, choose to depend. It's the same way somebody gets saved. It's the same way somebody walks with God. Turn over to, we're in Colossians 2:6. I want you to look at point number one. Are you looking? Okay. Realize your condition. Romans 3:10. It's the same way we get saved. It's the same way we're supposed to live. There are people in this room that don't know God yet. There are people in this room that have been coming. They don't know God. They're after God. And there's some that think they know God, but they don't know God yet. They're wanting to know God. And all you have to do is tell God, God, I want You. I don't know how to get to You, but You know how to get to me. So come get me. Just invite Him. He always accepts an invitation. God's favorite word is come. I dare you. Look. I'm drawing a line. I double dog dare you. As they say when I was growing up, I double dog dare you. Invite God. God, come get me. Whatever it takes. Don't quit. Come get me. I want to know You. I want to get closer to You. I want to know You, Jesus. I want to walk with You. I need You. Invite Him. Okay? If you're saved, pray for those that aren't. If you are saved, I want you to realize these conditions as we're going through these points. I want you to think about how this applies to your everyday life. Okay? If you're not saved, I want you to see what you need to see so you can meet Jesus. So you can be delivered from the power and the presence of sin in your life. I want to help get that out of you, to get you to Jesus. Romans 3:10 through 12. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God, none of us. See, if you're coming to God, it's because God's drawing you. You didn't wake up one day and say, I'm coming to God. God allowed things in your life. Jackson, you let Him hold it and you watch with Him, okay? Thank you. You didn't wake up one day and say, I'm going to go after God. God allowed things in your life to get your attention where you became needy. Because until you're needy, you won't come to God. Until you realize that when I start dealing with rich people and famous people, because I have, when I deal with them, I have a hard time helping them to get to Jesus because they're so full of themselves. I remember in a town, a preacher called me over near Chicago, and he said, will you come? He said, I've heard about you going around and turning cities upside down. Would you come to our city and turn it upside down? He said, because we have a hard city. I said, I've never seen a hard city. He said, well, come to my city. I said, okay. I said, I've seen hard areas, but not a whole hard city. My wife and I and daughter went to his church. The whole town was rich. They all had real nice homes. They were all well-off people. It was a suburb of Chicago. And I said, well, let's go out and talk to them about Jesus. So we went door to door, knocked on the door, and we're out there to talk to folks about Jesus, whatever I said, you know. And they just look at you like I was interrupting their life. And they just like look at me. And some of them just turn around, shut the door, and just walk away. Didn't even say, I don't want to hear, or nothing. They just acted so, it was weird. The whole town was like that. I knocked on one guy's door, and I remember he opened the door like this, and he said, look in here. And he listened to me talk a little bit. He said, look in here. He said, look up there. He said, look up there. So we might want to. Anyway, he said, look up there. And I looked up. He said, look at my house. And his house had these two winding stairs that went up to the upstairs. This big old beautiful house, big old shiny floor, the columns and all this. I'm thinking a match would take care of this. But anyway, he said, he goes, what do I need Jesus for? He said, I'm married, I got money, I got a good job, I got all this, I got everything I want. What do I need God for? It says, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. Put us all together and we're still unprofitable to God. Because we're sinners. Even when we do things right, a lot of times we don't have the right motive. Has your mate ever said, but I said the words, or whatever, you know, I said it. Yeah, you said it all right, and you said the right words, but you had an attitude. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. None of us are righteous before God. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages, the payment for sin is death. But the gift of God, what we don't deserve. God wants to give us a gift. When I preached around the country, at this point, I would pull out like a $20 bill. And I would say, does anybody want this? And everybody like stares at me, you know. I got their attention. All you got to do is hold out a 20 and you get everybody's attention. I said, does anybody want this? I say, well, come get it. And then somebody will jump up, come run and grab it. Or I hand it to somebody. And then I go on talking and I say, that's a gift. And I go on, I'm preaching, and then they try to hand it back to me. And I said to them, no, I don't want it back. It's a gift. I'm giving it to you. The gift of God, do you see it? Romans 6:23, is eternal life. How do we get it? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Have you ever received that gift? What do we deserve? Uh-oh, we're going to talk about hell. Revelation chapter 20, verses 10 through 15. You ready? And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away and there was found no place for them. I'll just go hide from God. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great. I saw the dead, small and great. It doesn't matter what level of society you're at. Stand before God. And the books were opened, the Bible. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. This is going to be our judge in the end day. That's why I ask you, when you ask me questions or you're telling me what you're doing, and I'll say, what does the Bible have to say about that? Because that is your judge. This is our standard, God's standard for right and wrong. That's why you don't want some watered down comic book version. That's why you want the Word of God. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. You mean somebody that was lost at sea? Yeah, God raised them up to stand before Him. And hell, and death and hell, delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Look what it says. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. How do you get written in the book of life? I could tell you, but I'd rather leave you with a question. Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers, are you on this list? Have you ever, any of these things ever been in your life? And whoremongers, that's somebody who's associated with a whore. Okay? And idolaters, oh, I'm none of those, Brother Harvey. I've never done any of that. I'm sorry. I'm in that list. As a matter of fact, every one of you is in that list just in the first three words. Look at the third word. Fearful. You ever been fearful? Fearful is the opposite of faith. If you're trusting in God, you're not full of fear. And the fearful, and then he says, notice the second line all the way over to the end, the last three words. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Romans 5:6. Okay, point number two. Admit your inability. Romans 5:6. For when we were yet without strength, when I couldn't save myself, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Did he die for the good people? I can't hear you. He did. You didn't read the verse. Let's read it again. For when we were yet, chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the people that are not like God. In order for you to meet Jesus, you have to realize and admit you're not like God. In order for you to have victory as a believer, you got to realize and admit, I'm not like God in this area. God, I need you to come and forgive me, first of all, Jesus. Second, I need you to come and strengthen me, because without your power, your ability, I can't live. As an unsaved person, God, this is where I'm at. I need you to die for me. I'm ungodly. I'm not like you. Luke 18:13, and the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful. Please don't let me get what I deserve. Please be merciful to me, a sinner. Romans 3:19 and 20. Now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, by us trying to keep the law, there shall no flesh be justified or declared right or innocent before God in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, no removal, no forgiveness of sin. That's why I've given you the picture. What if you died and you stood before God and He said, why should I let you into heaven? I'm a good person. I try to be good. I try to love my family. I try to give. I try to be a hard worker. I try to have good attitudes. And God's going, sounds pretty good. And then Jesus walks up next to you and the Father says, where's the blood in your offering of why I should accept you? You see, Jesus offered me His blood and I raised Him from the dead. Where's the blood in your offering? When Father asks that of me, Harvey, why should I let you into heaven? I tell Him, you shouldn't. You ought to send me to hell. That's what I deserve. But Harvey, you love people and you give and you're trying to be kind and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I do all those things because of Jesus in me. If doing those things was going to get me to heaven, then I'm saying, Jesus, I didn't need you. What you did was worthless. But you see, I say, I can't make it without you, Jesus. Father, the only thing I have to offer of why you should let me into heaven, here's the blood of Jesus. I'm trusting in that. Jesus died for me because I'm a sinner and there's nothing I could do. I have no power. Will you accept this? He said, that's the only thing I accept is the blood of Jesus. I want to go through here and read this. Time's getting away, so I'm going to let you go. But I just want to go back to the 5-point outline. Will you read it this week? Okay, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Look at you, good. All right, here we go. First time she's already got it. She's supposed to cooperate. Are you listening? The same way you get saved is the same way you're supposed to live. Realize your condition. Every day, I am not like God. I want to be like God, but I'm not like God. Admit your inability. God, I can't just live for you without you. I need you to empower me to live for you. I need you to empower me to even worship. I can't even worship God if God don't stir me up. Because I'm just selfish and self-focused and distracted with all this world. Realize your condition. Admit your inability. Realize God's solution. What is that? Death, burial, resurrection. He did that for us. Admit His ability. Jesus got up from the dead. What couldn't He do? If He could get up from the dead, He could take care of me. He could take care of the needs I have. But Lord, I don't know how to think. I don't know how to capture my thoughts. I got all these thoughts. God says, I'm going to teach you how, but you're going to have to walk into it because you've been practicing a whole nother way that's opposite of me. And He said, it's going to take time, but see, God loves you so much that He's committed to work in your life for the rest of your life. God will never give up on you, even if you give up on Him. Have you ever left God? Have you ever left God? Have you ever walked away, been mad, called Him names, thought bad things, don't want anything to do with church, don't want anything to do with preachers, Christians are all hypocrites? You ever done that? Well, let me ask you a question. Did He give up on you? Did He keep loving you? Did He forgive you when you finally came back to your right mind? And you asked Him to forgive you? And did He just say, okay, well this time, He says, you hurt me deeply. So this time, I'm only going to be this wide open to you. Is that what God did? Or did He still keep His arms wide open? You see, there is nobody like Him. Can I just read you something and then we'll be done? Could I read you something? Please tell me yes, because it's easier than me just doing it, you know? All right, you ready? I want you to get this, okay? You're going to like it, I think. I know you will. And if you like it, then you just tell me and I'll print it up for you, okay? Just because I love you, okay? Good, you're welcome. Here we go. Almighty God loves each and every one of us personally. Here, would you close your eyes? Close your eyes while we do this. Almighty God loves each and every one of us personally. But our sin, whether we're saved or not, our sin separates us from a holy God. He knows that we've been deceived by sin and trapped in it. As an unsaved person or even a saved, He wants to deliver us from sin and its hold on our lives. But we have to want that also. Sin has become our way of life, our choice. We need to know that every sin has to be paid for, and the only payment is death, which means separation from life and God. So Jesus left heaven to remove our sin block, that which separates us from God. We have to admit it is our own sin, that we are personally responsible for it. If we don't want sin, then ask Jesus to forgive you and give your sin to Him. Think about what He had to go through to pay for and remove your sin. Here's your prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for dying in my place. Please forgive me for killing you with my sin. I'm so glad that you loved me so much that you were willing to go to the cross and suffer for me personally. I believe that you rose from the dead, and you can also raise me up and give me victory over sin. Please come fill my life fully with your life and love where sin has lived before. I only want Jesus living in me. I want no bad devils. I'm going to kick them out. I only want Jesus living in me all the time. Please teach me in my everyday life how to break agreement with sin, evil, and the devil so I can live and walk with you, Jesus, every minute. Amen. What do you think? What do you think? You like that? Is that a neat thought? Neat prayer? Father, I want to thank you for each person that's here. My desire, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate that you have blessed me with these people. And I thank you for what you're doing in their lives. I thank you for the choices that they're making in their hearts. And Lord, I pray that you would take your truth, truths that you want us to hear, think about today, and that, Lord, we would allow those truths, allow you to take and work those truths inside of us, that we could learn how to walk with you, hang out with you, experience you more often in our lives, and how to get the victory over self and sin and Satan and the world system and our stinking thinking. Because we want to just hang out with you, Jesus. We love it when we're in your presence. I love your presence, the song said. I love your presence. I love your presence. Teach me how to live in your presence instead of having to keep coming back to your presence. And we just say, thank you, Jesus. I'm asking your blessings and your protection on each one here. And I just say, thank you, Jesus. Amen.